But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an acaso, where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epha Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
Second Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. Scripture speaking, the book of Second Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. It says, wherefore, come out from among them. He says, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be with you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible began to give a very important instruction. God says, come out from among them. Among them who? Come out from among them. He says, when you step out from them, be separate, says the Lord. So it continues to reiterate that this instruction is from God. He says, don't touch the unclean thing. Then me, I will receive you. That's the only condition for a man to attract the attention of the immortals. He says, step out from the noise of your generation. Come out from among them. There is a drama happening. Everybody can be involved. But he says, if you want to catch the attention of the immortals, he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean thing. He says, I will receive you. The way God receives offerings and receives sacrifice, He says, your life can become an offering if you come out from among them. And tonight, God's word is coming for us very powerfully again. God wants to open us up to potentials and to possibilities in the spirit. 1 minute, I feel a burden in my heart that we should just pray, you know, and angulate our hearts and prepare for what God is about to do. So please don't get tired of doing this. Take one more moment and tell the Lord to speak to us. Lord, speak to me. Speak to my heart. Open my eyes and show me light. Great and mighty things which I do not know. And so, Father, we pray that by your word, you hearken to the petitions of your people tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brethren, from the scripture that I've read to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, scripture says, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. But there is a privileged information about man that the princes of this world sustains. And that information, you know, inspires and influences their mode of operation with man. The information is such that it puts an idea to man as though man is in charge. But they know that behind the veil, they are the ones pulling the strings. The princes of this world have mastered a way of dealing with this creature called man in a way that he still thinks he's in charge. But in the long run, they know that they mastered him throughout his life. There is a reason why their attention is drawn to the mind of man. So much so that you will not see any creature appear to outrightly tell you, you know, to break the laws of God. They know that all they need to do is to find a way to route a suggestion to your heart. And if it enters your heart, for the sake of this teaching tonight, I will be interchanging the word heart and mind. I'll be using them interchangeably. So whenever I talk about heart, you are rest assured that I'm still making reference to the mind. And so if the princes in our world wants to bring a generation down or deviate their eyes from God, all they need to do is to cast something upon the mind of that generation, because they know that as he thinks in his heart, so he is. That's Proverbs chapter 27 verse 3. As you think in your heart, that's what you are. So they know that they don't need to follow people one after the other. They just need to send an asana into the airways.
Make it popular enough that it can attract the attention of men. So there are two gates of transformation. The light gate of the eyes and the sound gates of the ears. The light gate of the eyes will communicate everything that cannot be routed through sound. And there are many things of the spirit that only through light it can come. And so the light gate is a very important part for them to use to put things in your mind. They know that the difference between what is in your mind and that thing entering your life is time. If it can enter your mind, it must enter your life. And so all through every system you turn, they have, you know, configured it and perfected it in a way that you cannot expect to be different from what you are seeing. Because everything you are seeing is an attempt to put something in your mind so that it can mold your life at the end of the day. If you look at what the average music video is for our world right now, I can tell you the truth. The things we are comfortable with at this point are the things our fathers would call pornography. The kind of nudity that is being described as fashion, as being fashionable, as hot. Little wonder the average man in our generation, he finds it hard to hold on to the altars of consecration, because the normal things his eyes see on a daily basis are the things that are routed to enter his heart. And once it enters his heart, the only thing he will be struggling with is a yearning, a desire to, you know, obey God, but find a difficulty to meet up with that desire. And he will think he needs to take another retreat. He needs to take another vow, another resolution. So every retreat time, a man will write, by God's grace, God helping me. The new year is another time to write heavy vows again. But the more you are writing the vows, the more you are seeing that you are helplessly at the mercy of the things that fight you. Tonight, God wants to bring wisdom to a generation where we can win the battle from. It is what Joyce Meyer was adding volumes to when she wrote a book titled The Battlefield of the Mind. They know that they don't need to come to you. They just need to put their ideas around something you love. The idea will subtly be sold into your heart. Once it enters your heart, it has entered your life. And so he says, guard your heart with all diligence, because it will be out of there that the issues of your life will be molded from. Any man that can arrest his heart, that can guard the gates, the light gates and the sound gates. If you can possess your gates, there is nothing that can enter your life without your knowing and without your approval. And so for many people, the storyline has been a man who is truly, genuinely hungry to walk with God. A man who wants consistency in his walk with God. But every time he takes a recap as to how he has walked thus far, he will continue to see compromise, because he is trying to fight the battle from a wrong end. The place where we win this war from, it is from the building block of your life, which is the things that you meditate on your heart. And so we know that at the end of the day, you cannot choose that this is what I'll be thinking about day and night, because every time you step out, you have to go out into the world. You have your secular engagements, you know, to do. And so once you go out every day, it's a potential time for something else to be put inside your heart. And so this is why I shared with us at some point, Jesus was teaching his disciples, and then he began to introduce a very powerful kingdom concept to them. The concept of feet washing. That every time you go out into the world and you come back, he started teaching them how to wash feet. And Peter, led by passion, said, Lord, I will not permit you to wash my feet. He thought it was honor. Every other person Jesus has washed their feet, that means in Peter's perspective, they don't know honor. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. Then Peter said, okay, bath me. And Jesus said, no, a man who has had his bath before has no need for another bath. What was Jesus communicating? That every day you go into the world, there is a part of you that will interact with the dust of this world. That part of you is the only part that needs to be washed, your feet. And so for a believer, every time you step into the cosmos, there are many things you will interact with. As holy as you are, there are many things that will hit you. Many things that will stamp on you. Some of you watched one movie and it left a picture in your heart. The picture began to be a seed that was germinating. If you knew how to win the war, you would have stopped it before it became a temptation. Every temptation was once an atmosphere you entertained. And if you can conquer it from there, I tell you, the princess has no hold over you. Their strategy is only one, is to put their intent in your heart and pretend like no seed has been planted. The Bible says the kingdom of God is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his land. Then he says, while men slept an enemy came and planted too. The enemy planted, and when he planted, there was no sign that anything was planted yet. They waited until the time where the blades sprung up. Then you see two different kind of crops growing side by side. This is how he operates. He plants when you are not conscious. You thought you fed for that temptation at that day. It's not that day. The temptation probably took 3 months of gestation to mature. And those 3 months are the things they sold into your heart, so that in the day where the suggestion will come, you cannot disobey the posture of your heart. Because as you are in your heart, that's who you will be. I can share something with you without repentance tonight. You can never be better than your mind. Your mind can never be better than you. You and your mind are one and the same. And so if you know the greatest point of investment is your mind, the matters of holiness and consecration, it is to chisel your mind. Because if anything will enter this your physical life, it must pass through your mind. Find a way to be rich. Find a way to be prosperous without bringing the concepts and the ideas and the reality of wealth into your mind first. The difference between you and poverty is only a time. Because everything that is not your reality in your mind should not be in you. It is as you think in your heart that you are supposed to be. Find a way to enter a relationship and watch how you will break relationship over and over again. Because the idea of marriage is first about a posture, a maturity that your mind attains. And it's not maturity about age or your ability to analyze things, you know, very effectively. The issue about the things we speak about, even God, the only way God can enter your heart, your life, is first through your heart. And I will share something tonight. The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It says, this is the first commandment. Why did it put so much emphasis about where the business will start from? So he came and says, if you love me, keep my commandment. The disciples heard it and they thought Jesus was saying, prove that you love me by keeping my commandment. And Jesus says, if love was in place in the first place, you will find yourself naturally keeping my commandment. If love was inside your heart, nothing will make you doubt me. Nothing will make you turn your back. In the height of temptation, the thing you love is where you will follow. So Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. What then is the investment of the believer? Is to open that his mind up so that love can enter. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was he saying? Let this kind of operating system be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You can use that kind of mind, and you too, you'll be victorious. The average Christian is trying to solve matters, you know, from signs and symptoms. He's trying to take Panadol for malaria, and you are only treating the symptom, because the real causative organism has not been dealt with yet. The headache is just one of the shootout, one of the expression of that ailment. If you treat headache and malaria has not been dealt with, you have to be keeping Panadol by your bedside for a long time. Because every time you suppress it, it will come back again. That's what the nature of sin is. Something is inside the heart of the average Christian, and yet he wants to overpower sin by saying no. And no is not your escape from sin. Because the no you said today, you may not be strong tomorrow to say no again. You are going to check, where did this suggestion come from? The Bible says, when you are tempted, let no man say he's tempted of the Lord. It is the lust that is in our heart. James, he says, it is the lust that is in your heart. Jesus speaking, he says, the prince of this world cometh and finds nothing in me. So the temptation of Jesus, they looked for an area where they can use and say, this thing inside him, let's use it and concoct a temptation. And there was no premise to build a temptation. Nothing. Can we win that war this year from the level of your mind, the battlefield of the mind? And how do you do that? You begin to be aware of not just the decisions, you know, that contravenes the instructions of God. You begin to be aware of the things that brought those suggestions in the first place. So the average Christian knows that there are places a believer should not be found. Not because if you go there is sin. See, this is where we fall from. We fall because we are interpreting our sins as actions. But sins start first as tendencies. Sins start first as atmospheres. So we say it's not a sin because it is not a sin, but it leads to sin. It becomes the foundation that a sin will be built upon. Tonight I bring a counsel for somebody who is tired of the chains on their hand. You know that you are supposed to lift a horn in a generation. You know that the counsel of God will be uttered from your lips very soon. But you cannot help but see infirmity iniquity bounding your hand and foot, and you cannot walk consistently with God, and you think that with time you'll be free. Now time is going, and it's almost becoming clear to you that time does not have the solution to this predicament. Because I have met old pastors. I have counseled an old pastor, a father of four. Apostle, I know you are young. I'm old enough to be your father, but I have a challenge and I feel led to share with you. After four children and a wife, he will still sneak into the bathroom in the night and watch pornography and masturbate. So you who thought that this thing will end when I marry, marriage is not the escape for a challenge that a principality is behind. You can't use any physical solution to tame the move of a spirit. You will get married and still find out that the spirit knows that marriage is not the end of your challenge. Do I go ahead and share about people who dwell in certain bays of sin, certain level of compromise, until they have sapped out the joy out of that? And so a voice will echo from the abyss and say, come up hither too. The way you can grow in God, men can grow in darkness too. And so a level of sin will no longer be enough. They will want to plunge you into a deeper place. A young man I met recently, his attraction now is to animals. Animals. Started with human being. Explored all that there is you can do with your own race. Then to show you the end of this business is growth. Even Satan aspires and he contends for spiritual growth. You can never be the same. Last year cannot be this year. There is a target for your rising to in the rank of compromise. So that if you are not doing anything, you must be growing. It's just a question of, did you grow in light or darkness? Every man is experiencing spiritual growth. The only way you can master the system is to influence what you want to happen. If you don't plant anything on the earth will still produce. It will produce weed. To tell you that it's not about whether you plant or not, everybody will get a harvest. It's either you go and meet all the weed that came on the account of your lack of commitment to that which God has handed to you, or you intelligently influence your harvest by sowing the seeds you want to see. If you don't influence the growth, you will find your life, if it is this cosmos you are inside, you will find your life taking a shape. Even you will be amazed at the tendency, the things that will pass through your heart. You will not know when you have grown to that level. You didn't start from there. I met a young man who, with tears in his eyes, began to tell me that, sir, I will be honest with you. He started first, you know, just turning to look at a lady, began to watch pornography. From pornography, he graduated into, you know, depraved thoughts, to the extent of, you know, he came to a point where his pornographic choice is pregnant women. Nothing else can give you pleasure. I'm sharing this with that person who want to try. Don't start it. As you want to start, it is an endless journey. They will be drawing you into deeper level of the chain. The average heart tonight has tried many times, many effort to break free from the cord of this wicked compromise. And today, by the hand of God, the light of God will shine and men will become free. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Very quickly, I just want to share some points with us, certain things we need to be conscious of as touching these matters of the mind. First, number one, your mind is your operating system. For those of us who are writing, your mind is your operating system. The same way you have the operating system for the iPhone as the iOS, and you have the operating system for the Android phones. The truth of the matter is that you can design an Android phone to look exactly like an iPhone. And at the end of the day, it is not the appearance that tells you what product you bought. There are Android phones that are now designed to look like an iPhone. You can even put the logo of the iPhone behind it. But what actually becomes for you the proof that you have bought an iPhone? It is the operating system that comes only with that device. And so the intelligence wants us to look like it, but never be it. Look like a believer. Have a form of godliness. Appear. You know the dress code. You know how believers should talk. So by every physical reference, every physical, you know, indices, you will almost be like a believer. but they just want that the operating system should be different. And it is the operating system they made reference to when they say, let this mind be in you. Your mind is your operating system. For those of us who are quick to judge by, you know, the superficial, you can see a lady, you can see a guy, you know, dark, tall and handsome, fair, speaking Queen's English, and you are happy with who you are seeing. Eventually, it's that mindset that will raise your children. Then you will find that although somebody looks like you, but the result, can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You will find very soon, because I've seen many a man in the midst of the beauty now no more peace, and now they are looking for peace more than beauty, because peace became weighty in the time where all of this superficial thing has reduced. At the end of the day, your operating system is who you are. Do any makeup you want. You can use makeup and attract people. Your operating system will keep them. Who are you? It is the operating system. Your mind is your operating system. And the way operating systems can be updated, you have Android 1.0. I think up till date we have maybe 12 now, right? 12.0. There are upgrades. So you start from a place where the kingdom brings you sufficient light to help you upgrade from a place of deficiency into higher measures. And every light they bring to you is a nature of God that they enable you to see. So that if you see with unveiled face, you are transformed into what you are beholding. That is how men too are upgraded. And whatever enters your mind, your body begins to conform to the state of your mind. The space that entertainment has in our world is alarming. The space that entertainment has, you cannot pretend like you are truly serious about spiritual growth if you don't put certain laws to guard and manage our use of time. Because many of us, it's almost as though there is something regulating it. You wake up, the first thing is your phone. Just carry it. You want to check the messages that came in. You have not even said thank you to the person that kept you throughout the night. You know the funny thing? There are many pictures on different profiles. Many short video clips. Amazingly, there are clips that looks like comedy now. The more you are watching, can I share something with us? Amen. You know, you can just be watching a comedy skit and the overall intent was comedy. But if you observe the trend of the world has no intention to entertain you. Everything is a tool of ministry. If you look from the perspective I'm about to share this light from, you will truly agree with me about what I'm about to establish. There is no middle ground in the world. You are either with light or darkness. The devil knows it. Only believers don't know yet that you cannot stand on your own. There is no space for you to say, me, I am here. It's either you are God. And if you are not with God, you don't have to say I'm with Satan. The fact that you are not with God, you are facing somebody else. If anything is not edifying you, it's doing something else. This is the intelligence of the princes. Nothing like entertainment. This is why the patriarchs of old, their entertainment, their joy was inside the Holy Ghost. Because any other thing that gives you joy, it comes with an addition. There is a transformation agenda inside it. For we all with unveiled faces, beholding like in a glass. The Bible says the glory of the Son. We are transforming to the same image from glory to glory. And the truth is that scripture is not for Bible alone. Whatever you are beholding, you are transformed into it. Unfortunately, how many hours in a day or even minutes did you dedicate to the tool of transformation, the Word of God? Why do we complain that we don't understand how we are not stable spiritually? Yet, there is no system to adequately keep the Word of God by your gaze. No system. As you eat, I shared certain secrets with some brothers recently when we took our retreat before we resumed for the year. I think I shared with some of us before I traveled, right? That before food enters your mouth, this year, one of the codes you should hold yourself accountable to, before food enters your mouth to energize the flesh, your spirit must have eaten. If you set that law, you will find out every day is like a fasting. First, those of you struggling with sleep or struggling with fasting, you will find that your flesh can be made to cooperate with you. When he finds out that you are true to your word, that food will not come to it until your spirit has eaten. One of the things it does is that it regulates the equilibrium between the stature of the spirit and the stature of the flesh. So your flesh can never become bogus and then suppress the spirit man, because the things that energizes it, you give allocations to the spirit first before he has anything to eat. So per time, your spirit man will maintain control. This one is just a simple rule. If you practice, you will find yourself having the capacity to say no to temptation. But the things I'm sharing this night is about how to avoid the temptation itself, that you will not even get any suggestion. There is no place to establish the temptation from. And mind you, our world has, you know, been plunged into a deeper level of compromise. If you want to know what is about to happen, be looking at your children gradually. You have not seen depravity yet. Be looking at the young generation. I shared with us some time ago, I told you, look at the average child between 15 and 18 years. Many of them, to my greatest shock, they are already Yahoo boys. Many. And I expected, you know, to be these things to be adults, but I saw young, very young. And I asked myself, how were they recruited? They displayed vanity before their eyes. Vanity. And the vanity became a state of their heart. So the loss that comes with that became for them the only way to pursue this thing. So you will get wealth by any means. Recently, I shared with you guys, I think you all saw the videos that were trending. People who, you know, have begun to formalize rituals in the name, I think they call it Yahoo Plus. You plus the Yahoo, and then the impact of your labors will be more. Seven young men entered one of the forests around Kaduna State. The case I share with you, a sibling of that person is in our midst here sitting down. Seven of them. They entered because he has done for the same for some of their friends before. So seven young men entered there. And when they went and entered the place, they came to a shrine where they stepped. As they stepped into it, the Baba came out and said, "Hey, see, who told you to enter? That you don't know that this place, you only enter through your back." That, and he has not even asked them why they came yet. Because they went there to get plus. Amen. And from that little thing that he said, "Who told you to enter?" You know, he did not tell them that they are the sacrifice. He now told them that the thing that they are looking for, if after 7 days, and they were seven, if they survive 7 days, that they will get what they are looking for. From day one, the first one died. Second day, the other one died. They died successively until the seventh one. They brought him to an akazo here. On the seventh day, he looked like a madman. He was not present in his body again. The body was empty. He will call his name and he cannot even respond to you, like a vegetable. Those who struck covenants with Hades on account that they just wanted, you know, to enter into something that God could have given to you cheaply. Tonight, you know, more than ever, I'm persuaded that God is drawing our attention to the place where we can win this war from. It's not about resolutions. It's not about what to do and what not to do. It's not vows. Some of you, when I'm speaking, something is telling you, that movie, stop watching movie. It's not about that. At the end of the day, whether you didn't watch the movie, you will still go out and somebody can dress loosely. And if your own challenge is that anything your eyes see, it will be crystallizing your heart. It was Job that said, "I made a covenant with my eyes." He says, "Why will I behold a maiden? A covenant with a gate called my eyes." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Unfortunately, it's not only faith that comes by hearing. Many other spirits too can come by hearing. Fear also operates through hearing. And you can hear something that can damage your belief of God. You can hear something that will make you doubt the things you were once prophesying. And everything I'm speaking about tonight is about the wisdom of the princes. They want for us to continue to live carelessly, to continue to live like the world. But the Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, He says, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be with you. There are people in our midst that the only thing you have been waiting for, the only thing you have been trusting God for, it is that life of consecration. Something tells you that if you can go consistently with God for 1 month, you will carry a dimension of the anointing. Some of you, you know, I'm not even trying, you know, to stress myself to describe what you are currently into. You know that if you go for only 1 week without defiance, or rather without compromise, if you go for 1 week without falling, there is a kind of utterance that your vocal cord pronounces. If you speak with your friends, you hear yourself uttering deep things that you know is not you, and it's just 1 week. 1 week of accuracy. Imagine who you are. Imagine what becomes of you if 1 month can shine on you. Imagine what happens if 1 year can record you consistently eating from the table of the manna of God. Imagine what you can transform into. The greatest fear of Satan is what you can become. So they need to be feeding you day by day to make sure you are not transformed into the image and the statue of the Christ. And so everybody have their own responsibility to guard their gates. The custom made instruction is coming to your heart right now. You already know what to do. You already know what to do. I belong to Jesus, never going back, never going back. I belong to Jesus, never going back, never going back. I belong to Jesus, never going back, never going back. I belong to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Very quickly, still talking about the matters of our mind and the gates that brings informations to the mind. Amen. Something I believe will bless us in no little way. Please, I need your attention. Please, you can follow me. Say amen.
Amen.
There is something about informations. Something about knowledge. Something about light. The idea that the great monarch had in his design of creation is that he created two different civilizations and two different realms to host those civilizations. So there is the civilizations of the spirit world, and then there is the civilization of men. The civilization of the spirit world is that which is the habitation of spirits and angels alike. So the Bible says he maketh his angels spirits. So angels are spirits. If you can hear me, say amen. And the civilization of spirits, there is an economy that was reserved for only spirits, and that is the economy of light. And light is knowledge, and knowledge is information. If you can hear me, say amen.
Amen.
This is why when man was designed, because man was sharing his habitation with a spirit being, it was necessary to put two economies within the space where man has his habitation. So the economy of spirits was there, and the economy of spirits was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the first thing that tree ministers is knowledge. And knowledge was a route that God used to connect with spirits, not with this new creature called man. And so there was another economy called the tree of life, and it was the economy of life that man was supposed to use to connect with God. And in the economy of life, there is no need for a third party, no need for a middleman. No man will teach you about God. You will know as you are known. Something will be stirred in your heart as an inspiration. In Job chapter 32 verse 8, scripture says there is a spirit in man. There is an inspiration of the Almighty on that spirit to give him understanding. This was how it was designed, that man would relate with God. But then, because the previous civilization, because in the beginning God created the heaven first and the earth. So the heaven and the earth there in that scripture was reflective of the order of manifestation. The heaven was created first before the earth. And so from the civilization of the heaven, they found out that knowledge puffs up. Knowledge can make a man proud. And so they were reducing the civilization of knowledge. They were trying to block the economy of knowledge and bring it to its end. Mind you, when Satan was in the garden, in Ezekiel, the Bible says, thou were in the garden. Every precious stone was thy covering. So he was the first occupant of the garden. The garden of Eden where Adam was. If you have ever asked, why did God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when he knows that man will eat it? The tree was not there for man. The tree was there to help Lucifer, the light bearer. Because what is the name of the tree? The tree of knowledge. And knowledge is light. So the way for him to do his business is to assess God through that tree. And angels don't know God experientially. They only know God through the informations about him that they capture. So only knowledge is available to them to know God. And so when Satan saw that a new creature has been designed, and the creature has been given an exclusive right to connect with God personally, he was jealous. And so his temptation was to lure the man to abandon his own route of connection with God and come and use the route of knowledge. And so through the route of knowledge, it became clear that there will be many different complications between God and man. One of the complications is that there's no language that is sufficient enough to capture God. So no language has the vocabulary enough to describe him. And so because of his now the route of knowledge, you are going to need a third party to tell men about God. It was never in the design that any man would tell his fellow man about God. Mind you, Adam was sleeping. God caused a deep sleep to come upon him. And God removed a rib from his side and made Eve. The guy that was asleep used the civilization, the economy of life. And when he woke up, he told God what God did to him. Because in the economy of life, you don't need anybody to tell you before you know anything. He used the economy of life. And he says, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. You thought he was sleeping, but he was not asleep. Because in the economy of life, you know as you are known. And God is too vast that knowledge cannot capture him. It will take countless, endless streams of books, unending libraries to describe him. And so because they know that, they made an economy that only this economy you can use to relate with him. But now man has fallen. And now man tries to relate with God through knowledge, through light. And so this is why God had to break life into light. So Jesus being the life, the Bible says in him was life. But now that life is the light of men. Because man has reduced himself through the economy of knowledge. And so God has to become a knowledge. And now the only knowledge man needs to know is Christ Jesus and him crucified alone. That's the only thing they need you to know, that through that you can access life. But even with this, the princes continue to challenge us that you will never be faithful in knowing the knowledge of the Holy One. Now that God has still broken himself down into knowledge, many things compete with time. Many things make sure you will not be faithful to study about God. And to every moment you give yourself to entertainment, it's a potential time you would have studied and become like God. Because as you behold, you are supposed to be transformed. And so man now gives attention to many other things except transformation. Unfortunately, transformation is happening. Anything you are giving time to, you are becoming it. And the challenge with the civilization of the spirits is that rebellion has been found there. The challenge is now that there is nobody that can truly host the fullness of God except the route of life is restored. So at salvation, something happens. For the first time, the man that is always told before he believes, always taught before he understands, always made to see before he comprehends, a new route was opened in the valve of his spirit. Suddenly at salvation, a quickening and knowing inside your heart. So the only way you know that you are a child of God is that the spirit beareth witness with your spirit. They use the route of life, the route of inspiration. That this one, nobody told you that, congratulations, we just sent you a letter to approve that your application to become a child of God has been approved. Nothing. That you will receive a knowing in you, a knowing only you knows. That's the route of inspiration, the route that Adam lost from the beginning. So in salvation, the route was restored. But the average Christian does not continue using it. He observes that, enjoy it momentarily, and switches back to knowledge and start reading books again. There are many things you know about scripture, and I speak only to those who have at least some steps in the corridors of the Spirit. There are many things you knew about God. You did not know it was in the Bible when you knew it, when you believed it. For those of you who use the route of life, the written word is only for confirmation. It's not for education. Your education is streaming from the route of the Spirit. There is an economy of life. It is life that teaches you what you should know. You use inspiration to know you are now a child of God. Then you go back to now use knowledge to do spiritual growth. Who has bewitched us? How did you go back into the average man wants to talk about Ketron Kuhlman, talk about Lester Sumrall, you know, talk about Benson Idahosa. He thinks he's saying heavy things. He does not know that his reference to God is only the works of men of old. And there is a spirit inside him that holy men use to write the scripture. And he did not know that that same route has been opened in his heart. So even though they burned the whole Bible, we can write it again. Because there is a realm of inspiration. Holy men who were inspired by God. That same spirit can still move you. That same spirit is still inside you. And you shall hear a voice from behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. God don't want any man to hear from him and come and tell you. God wants to speak to you directly. That is why the veil of the temple was torn. So that all men can enter. But unfortunately, men still want priests to stand on behalf of them. Of course, you can come and testify. I was in this, and apostle prayed. It will make me feel nice about myself, but I know it's not the will of God. The will of God is that you will know how to assess the realm for yourself and do business in deep waters. You will know. See, the same way nobody convinced you before you knew you are a child of God, there was a knowing. A channel in the spirit that was restored. That is how every other decision in life, from that point of being born again, is supposed to be solely glued to the realm of inspiration. You want to get married? Inspiration is stronger than knowledge. Hey, people from Igala, they do this. If you follow that, you will still fall. Because I can tell you one truth. The Bible says, who is it that seemeth to be wise in the things of this world? Let him become a fool so that he may be wise. They say, you want to marry from this one? There are things that look evil. Things that appear wrong. But it may be the will of God for you. And the only way to discern the will of God in a world where many voices are speaking is to escape the route of knowledge and go back to inspiration. Inspiration is, the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Eyes and ears are routes for what economy? Knowledge. See, let me tell you something. Let me show you something. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Then they say, it has not entered the heart of men. So it is not only two channels that the gates of your soul can be accessed. Your heart too is a gate to your soul. But man only knows eyes and ears. So he reads to understand. He listens to understand. But he does not know that understanding can enter his heart too. And that one, there will be nobody to tell you. It will be broadcasted from the throne eternal. You will just receive a knowing. God speaking to you directly. No middleman. And it is this whole middleman arrangement that brings all kinds of misinformation and deviation, because the man that wants to tell you about God, even he too is seeking the mercy of God. Can a generation know God for themselves tonight? Can somebody just sit quietly and retreat back to that voice that speaks in echoes in your heart? You have been ignoring it for a long time, and that is the voice of the great one himself whispering his counsel to you. Have you used your greatest weapon? There are two different species growing side by side. The wheat is growing and the tares is growing by its side. And if you know something about weeds, weeds are aggressive. They are more aggressive than your crop. And so the only way for the wheat now to survive this weed is that you must explore all of your exclusive advantages in God. In a time like this, iniquity will be rewarded. So if you cut corners in a business, you will do better than the believer who is trying to chisel himself under the code of conduct of righteousness. In a day like this, righteousness will be a disadvantage to participate in the world. So the only way is to switch into your other senses. to receive knowings that the average man does not know. That is the way for the believer to live a superior life. But if you stay with knowledge, even them can read that material too. The average Christian carries a book written by another man. Listen, I am not negating the place of preparation. For those who have ears, you can hear what I'm already telling you. There is a channel of broadcast that only God and you should have. And the Christian only uses it in salvation. Believes that he's now born again. He didn't hear it from any human being that he's born again. He received a broadcast. And he did not know that this place that I heard this thing from, other things can be said from this place too. He goes back to the route of knowledge. And begins to only believe what his eyes see and his ears hear. But things can enter your heart. Some of you, your ordination is an echo in your heart. You are passing by that family. You are seeing their window open. No curtain. And something say you can buy curtain for them. You are passing and you are seeing the little boy holding, you know, some granite in some container, selling it. And something say you can pay his school fees, but there's no one naira in your pocket. It is the channel of inspiration that is echoing who you are to you. A time will come when the horn of wealth will be in your hand. And so they are teaching you your way now. It is God that teaches your hand how to war. You will not know what weapon to wield until you can hear the echoes of God. And if you don't hear from him, man will deviate you. Man, every man is... See, I'm echoing this because there is a surge of false prophets in the land. And many people are misrepresenting God. The only way to survive is to know him for yourself. Go back to where he speaks and hear what he said. Then you will know a false prophet when he echoes his counsel. You will know that this is not what God told me. I can tell you one truth. Even the Bible should only be a confirmation tool. The purest place of broadcast is the stream of inspiration. There is a spirit in man. Have you used that spirit like an antenna before? Just tune in to find it. Some of you, the way to know the counsel of God, you have not even mastered the motions of peace. You don't know when your spirit is at peace and you don't know when it's troubled. And so tonight is a time to begin to train our senses.
Yours the ancient path. Would you lead us along eternal highways? We want to follow the footsteps of Jesus. We want to enter your rest.
What is this ancient path? This is the part where the elders treaded. There was no Bible for that generation. No scripture was given to them. Yet they fleshed out the natures of Christ. How did they do it? They found the channel of inspiration. They didn't have churches. Only one temple. No teachers of the law. They didn't have many ministries. How did they do it now? The Bible says, ask for the ancient path. Walk in it. There you will find rest for your soul. Some of you, you know, I was reading the biography of Kenneth Hagin, and I found something very, very surprising. He began to say that in the casting out of demons, they will have violent manifestations too. And the point where he said those things, the men and the spiritual giants of his age, they condemned him. They said the manifestations is only an exclusive reserve for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, our generation needed a chunk of years to catch up with a truth that inspiration ministered to a man. The reason why I'm bringing the truth that I share with us tonight is because there are many of us who are about to dig maiden wells. You are about to dig the ground afresh. Your own call is not to increase the depth of an existing well. You will dig the ground, break the rock, and access new brooks for your generation. Because the deposit of God is sufficient enough for the prophet of that age. New prophets for different ages must rise. And so our generation must present God compelling enough to resist, you know, the outburst of arrogance that come with the increase of knowledge in our world. So another way to present it must come. And so the men who dig maiden wells, they will need to know that you must be prepared for persecution. There are many things you will bring out that the world will not allow yet. they will challenge you and call you names. But like those before you, you too must be persecuted. And you must die to yourself before you can dig those wells. People like to maintain things and build systems around it. Everybody raises an eyebrow when you introduce the new. But God says, behold, I do a new thing. A new thing. The way you have understood church is shifting gradually. Everybody here numbered, listed among such whose hands must be strengthened to begin to break maiden grounds. And your life will waste on that project, because it is a project that will be a legacy. You cannot dig and be doing something else. You will waste on the altar. You will die there. And then an eternal dynasty will be named after you. So that to the age of many generations, the immortals will sing your praise in the courts of heaven. But if you don't have that species, you can't dig anywhere. The challenge in our world is a mixture. And a mixture has adulterated the formula. It is holy men. A man who has reserved himself for God. Like those vehicles that are used by government officials. You are for official use only. Only God can use you. A man that has vowed that no spirit will use me briefly. I died and anything use me. These are those who break new grounds. Have you found yourself to come to that point where come what may? Somebody from that your family must waste on the altar so that other people can sleep in peace. Somebody must perish at that altar. Uche, I hate to do this. It's quite personal. There's a price that your father paid. And that price will make that his seed, even if they turn their back on God, the covenants of God will not abandon them. It is Solomon that will do things and God will say, because of your father David, because it's not you again. There is a dynasty that I respect. The labor of one generation can begin to flow into another. So even traits, even tendencies can become a genetic character that can flow into the next. There are children that can be born with proclivities for iniquity. You will not know who taught this child. It can be a genetic. There was a child recently that my attention was drawn to in one of the schools around Sabu. He was, you know, as small as he is, very small child, nursery 2, I believe. He would take small girls to the bathroom and lift their skirt up. Nursery 2. No, nobody taught him. He came as a follow come. And many spirits are looking at him now. They can't use him yet because his sexual appendages are not developed yet to execute their counsel. So they'll be watching him. But they know that they have a mighty warrior in this generation. Why you are laughing? The way they know that they have a candidate that they'll do mighty things with. That is how there are also children that when the angels look upon, they don't know how this child is loving God from small. They don't know why when the parents is singing, the child will quickly leave everything he's doing and come and join. There is a yearning for God in the soul of this one. So even Zion too have a hope that one day the wheat and the tears, they will clash. It's not only Satan that is mentoring a generation. There are people also rising. There are children also rising with unusual hunger for God. Some of them will pray and they don't know what they are saying yet. They just know that they saw their father praying. They saw their mother praying and they will just be doing that. And angels are waiting. One day we will use this thing.
Lead us along eternal highways. We want to follow the footsteps of Jesus. We want to enter your world.
I don't know if that prayer is a real desire from your heart. There's a path that is lost. It's lost. We don't know it. So the only place we go to peep at it is on the pages of books. We have to make reference to history to talk about the power of God. So we'll go and read about Catherine Kuhlman, and you are still alive. You are alive. God is alive. And yet, if you want to talk about power, you'll go and invoke somebody that is dead. How comes we have lost the blueprint? There's an ancient path they walked in. And if a generation must host God, we must look for that path. He says, ask for the ancient path, then walk in it. There, you will find rest for your soul. Many of you are yearning for something that is not in the world. Many of you are hungry for something that cannot be found in the periodic table. You don't even know what is making you restless. It is not in the world yet, so you can't find it. The day you see it, you will know. You will know the day you have touched substance in the spirit. The day where you know that his holy oracles are all around you. The echoes of his counsel, they are repeating themselves in your heart. He says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I will not sin against you. You can hide the word. This is how you hear from him part time. You want to take a step to the right. He says, I'm not the one. You cannot fall if you walk with inspiration. Because if you have to sleep before you know the counsel of God, if you have to sleep and dream before God speak to you, you are an endangered species, because many things can happen before you sleep. We need men who can connect per time. You can be awake and know what God is saying. And the only way to connect to that is inspiration. Only inspiration can give you that access. Please help them, help them. Are you tired of waiting at the receiving end until this happen before you will now know? Some of you, they want to tell you these things since, but they could not tell you because your flesh was so bogus. So they will wait until the flesh step aside. Then they will come and show your spirit what you should have known 10 hours ago. How long are we going to continue like that? There is a passageway tonight. An east gate that the Lord will open for our generation. The channel of inspiration, where men will know him and know him alone. You will only know him. Only his counsel and his utterance. Only him is permitted to teach you. And he came to Adam and says, who told you? Who told you? He didn't question why did you eat it. He says, who told you that you are naked? You went to take from knowledge. You went to dig from knowledge. I'm supposed to be the only one that inspires you. How many things do you now believe that is not the counsel of God for your life? All because you have eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Can you lift up your voice now? Can you lift up your voice? If you don't know what to pray, if you don't know which prayer point to pray, we are asking for the channel of inspiration, the frequency that broadcasts inspiration, to open up. Shazenia Nenote Mantra Soko Pekete. have started. You may have started with the economy of knowledge. That is version 1.0. There is a place for upgrade. You can upgrade and access another version. Now inspiration can open up. You will know. I know more than my teachers. I have more understanding than the ancients. There is an ancient spirit that teaches me. I know more than my teachers. I am not a man that depends on knowledge alone. My convictions are bettered by inspiration. Who told you that you are naked? Who told you that you will die? Who told you you will fail? Who told you you will be sick? Who told you your body is sick? Who told you? Oh, ayaho, ayaho. Holy Ghost, from the back to the front, the left to the right, outside in the overflows, and those following us online, at the count of three, we are going to shout Jesus. At the peak of your voice, we are going to shout Jesus, and the channel of inspiration will open up over people. You will suddenly notice. You will suddenly notice. Are you ready? One, in the name of Jesus. Two, in the name of Jesus. Three, right now. Holy Ghost. 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 Very quickly, chapter 10, verse 3. Quickly, it's a prayer point for us. We pray and then we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 3. Very quickly, an ancient secret is unveiled before our eyes, and I want us to read together as loud as we can. Let's read these things together. Let it be crystallized on your soul. At the count of three, we read together. One, two, three, go. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Listen, our warfare is not in the flesh. If you want to stop sin, you cannot stop it in the flesh. Vows and all kinds of profession cannot stop it. Our war is not in the flesh, although we are walking in the flesh. How do we war and how do we win? Next verse, very quickly. He says, for the weapons, let's read together, 1, 2, go. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of what? What are strongholds? There's a semicolon. Let's see what strongholds are. Next verse. Casting down imaginations. You see? Where is imaginations formed? Your mind. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against what? The knowledge. The knowledge. The knowledge. It's not enough that they have deprived us of the economy of life. Now, even knowledge, they bring another knowledge to challenge your knowledge of God, so that while you are knowing God, you are knowing something else. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. The Bible says, I'm bringing into captivity every what? Thoughts, thoughts, thoughts. You see where the war is now? It's the battlefield of the mind. If you win there, you will win in life. If you win at your mind, you will win in life. And this is to bring to the obedience of Christ. Somebody has found the secret tonight. Somebody knows already. He cannot wait back to go back to the war again and say, I have found it. If I can stand in my mind, I will stand. I will stand. I will stand. This is how we war. We make sure our mind is not compromised, because it is God that sees in secret. And they want you to look like it, but don't be it. But you must hold yourself accountable, even in the secret. Who you are in the secret is more important than the open, because who you are in the secret is responsible for who you eventually become. Ushers, please go around. There are 7 people here under the sound of my voice. Generously by the Spirit, I stretch my hands over them and I declare a grace for consistency. A grace for consistency. A hunger for the secret place rest upon them like a ball of fire. Holy Ghost, at the count of 3, 1, 2, 3, inside and outside. Where are they? By fire. By fire. By fire. Hunger. Hunger for God. Please bring them out. Bring them out. Outside. Outside. The fire of the Spirit rest upon them now. Now. I stretch my hands over them by the power of the Spirit, and I declare. Ministerial calls. The Lord says to stretch my hands over you and declare the release into your prophetic destiny. And now, Holy Ghost, from the back to the front, from the left to the right, inside and outside and online, I stretch my hands and I open the doors of your manifestation at the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Right now. Right now. Right now. Everywhere. 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 There's a matter that is brought before my eyes. I'm seeing persons in our midst who continue to have dreams of themselves. You dream and see yourself taking an exam. You are writing and you are not finishing. You are not completing that exam. The dream is repeating itself. You will write, they will collect other people's answer sheet and leave your own. And you will wake up knowing you did not submit. You will have dreams and see exam is approaching. And you don't know anything in the dream. You know that you are not prepared. And you are just confused in the dream. Now, Holy Ghost, I declare over your people that the programs and the installations of wickedness has been frustrating the next seasons of their life. People who has been pegged, people who delay, Holy Ghost, wherever they are, by your mercy, shine your light upon them now and cause for speed to be ministered to them. I hold your hands in the spirit and I draw you out of the miry clay. Holy Ghost, where are they? By the fire of the spirit, I declare you enter forcefully into your prophetic ordinations. For everybody outside, hallelujah. For everybody outside, by the mercies of the Lord and by the orchestration of His grace, I release the dew of mercy over people. There are voices that are speaking contrary to your favor, voices that are presenting strong reasons as to why delays should continue, as to why sickness should prosper. Now, by the dew of mercy, I release favor and mercy upon the destinies of men. Holy Ghost, by your mercy, shine upon them right now and break afflictions, break yokes, break delays, set them free by your power. Jesus, do this and take the glory. I command that men enter forcefully into their prophetic ordinations. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. You are not alone. Honestly, you are not alone. He that is in you is greater. Is greater than he that is in the world. The person in you is mightier. No matter what happens in the world, the monarch of Zion is sitting inside your heart. Them who fight for you are more than those who fight against you. Let this mind be in you. Carry this mind into the world. 1,000 will fall by my side, 10,000 by my right hand side, but it shall not come near me. I am heavily guarded. God lives inside me. I am highly favored. Let this mind be in you. I don't care what the confession of the world is. It's not your favor. It's not your portion. It's not your own predicament. No matter what is going on, they talked about different strains of coronavirus. You will not come down with it, because you and the children the Lord has given unto you, you are for signs and for wonders. No evil shall befall your dwelling place, but there is a mind. Let it be in you. This is such a memorable deliverance the Lord has created for us, that our mind shifts. Anything God does not say is not real. Can somebody say that to themselves? Whatever God didn't tell me is not real. Whatever God didn't tell me is not real. And like Adam, the walking voice of God is asking people, who told you that you will be sick? Somebody is thinking that they will not live long. There's a brother here. There is a thought in your head that you are not going to live long, that you will die, and that you will die of liver failure. There is that thought ringing in your head all the time. And now by the power of the Holy Ghost, I rebuke fear out of you. Wherever you are, I declare you are free right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Who told you? Who told you? If God does not say it, I don't believe it. The Bible says, let God be true and all men liars.
Glory to God. We trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anacazomissioninternational.ami or join us on our Telegram channel at anacazomissioninternational. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.